Welcome to the Becoming Eva podcast, where we discuss real life issues from a woman's perspective.
Becoming Eva seeks to break the silence within the female community while fostering authenticity, transparency, and healing.
We're your hosts, LaToya Moore
and Maya Dawson.
Let's get started. Hey. Happy Saturday.
Y'all see us kikiing already because you know. You know it's about to be a good one, okay?
Yes.
Okay, so back by popular demand, y'all. This is the to be continued, the part two that we talked about. So, but yes, before we get into our special guest and what we're talking about today, how's everybody doing?
So good. So glad to be here.
Oh, yay.
Same. So glad. I was so excited once I got the email. I was like, yeah.
Oh my gosh, I love it. How you doing, Toya?
I'm okay. When this episode airs, I'm gonna predict that God has answered a certain prayer.
Amen.
So I'm gonna go ahead and be thankful and praise
Amen.
God.
Amen. Amen. You know, I was really thinking that, y'all, this is our season finale for season 11, and y'all know we've been scratching and surviving this whole season. Like, literally, it started with a bang, it's ending with a bang. But I think in the midst of it, you know, God has shown himself to be faithful in the midst of the chaos, in the midst of the unanswered prayers. Like, he's been like, I'm gonna sustain you. But I was literally thinking this morning that I'm excited and expectant of the answered prayers and the praise reports that are going to be shared when we come back
for season 12.
Yeah, so get ready, y'all. Get ready and be expectant and be excited with us, because God is moving. He is doing some amazing stuff, whether we fully understand it or see or not. He's moving. So get ready, sis.
Yes, I'm excited. Can't wait to share in season 12.
Amen. So without further ado, we are rejoined, if you will, by special guests, okay? Miracle Pilar and Shania Mache. Welcome back, ladies.
Thank you.
We're so excited to have you guys back.
Yes. Y'all set it up. Let's set it off, I should say, last time. And so, and it was literally like so much more that needed to be shared. So we were like, okay, we got to have them back. And what better time to have you back than our Girl Talk season finale, okay? We usually have a panel discussion to just kind of put a nice little bow on the season and everything we've talked about. So here we are. Here we are. Here we are.
I feel super honored now.
Oh, yay.
Let's dive on in. You want to take us away, Toya?
Yes.
Dum, dum, dum.
We are talking about submission.
The S word.
Depending on your perspective, it could be a dirty word or, you know, depending on how you look at submission. Mm-hmm. So first, when did you first hear the word submission? What were your feelings and thoughts about it when you first heard the word submission?
We putting it on y'all first.
Ironically, I thought of a prison initially when I first heard of submission. Like, I grew up around very strong, stubborn, I love you though, men's men, you know? So it's like what I say goes. Mm-hmm. So I didn't really understand that dichotomy, mm-hmm. that breakdown of trusting God, praying for the Lord, you know, respecting your husband. I just felt like it would take away my autonomy, if that makes sense. So initially, it was a bit of a dirty word for me, but I couldn't all the way write it off because I knew it was required of me in the word. Mm. So it was definitely a wrestling, tussling point for me, mm-hmm. for a while.
Yeah, similar experience. For me, when I first heard it, I was confused. Mm. 'Cause growing up in the church, that was a concept that came up early. And when I heard it, it was in a moment where I felt conflicted. I didn't have these words when I was a child, but that's what was going on. Mm-hmm. So I definitely felt conflicted And with time, as I saw how certain people would use the word, I developed an aversion for it, because I saw men using it as an excuse to maintain power without accountability. And so it wasn't until recently that I started to see the beauty of submission.
Wow. What do you mean when you say the beauty of submission?
The Lord just in his kindness.
In his kindness.
One day I was on a worship set, actually.
Amen.
And singing with some other musicians. And it literally clicked while I was doing the set. I was like, this is what submission is. Because it was a very kind of like improvisational, spontaneous type of worship set. And so with that, the objective in those spaces is to know when to let the other person lead. And it doesn't work unless you give them room and then they give you room. And you're kind of, it's like a dance and a flow. And if you don't have, if you're not willing to submit, then there's chaos. But when you submit, then that's where the beauty happens. So I learned about the beauty of submission through music.
I love that. I love that. And it makes me think too of just like the whole dancing metaphor, because in order to dance with a partner, you have to let the partner lead. Like you have to, like, you have to move together. You know what I mean? It can't be, well, I want to go this way and you want to go that way. And, you know, you're at an impasse. But dancing successfully requires one following or and another leading. Like there's that collaborative moment. So,
and even when you get to the more intricate dance thing where they're throwing them up in the air and catching and doing all kind of stuff, you got to really trust that they're going to catch you and do all the things. You got to be willing to let them throw you up there.
It's
and
true.
Even like, you know, I'm thinking back to like cheerleading too, and how we would do the basket toss and you're like, I hope they catch me.
No, that's real. But how even in, like you said, the most intricate ones, it requires you to be relaxed in order for it to be successful. Like you can't be tense. You can't be scared. You can't be like, you literally have to trust in the process in order for it to be successfully completed. Like it's,
That's a beautiful thought.
You're like, thoughts is the operative word here.
I love that. I love that. Because the same is true for music too.
Oh, absolutely.
If you're stressed out, you know, what are we doing? We don't know. But it requires that freedom and that peace. For your best work to flow.
Amen. I know when I was spending time with the Lord, what gave me more understanding as far as me being able to have that peace and being able to trust is make sure I'm doing the front work before the I do.
Okay, what does that mean?
So, like, when you're on these dates, because, you know, we always want to be the cute couple with the nice pictures and the cute kids and the matching dog and house and all these things. And sometimes our feelings can get ahead of ourselves. And instead of asking the right questions, you're fantasizing in la-la land. So being able to, instead of just be excited over the idea of a man of God or a man with interest, but looking for intention. You have intention for me. Are we aligned? That's Are we trying to go to the same place? Do we see God the same way? So now it's like when I approach dating, I'm really trying to understand the way he thinks because when I say I do, I am agreeing in covenant to submit to this man. So what's going to help is for me to know you're a man of God that actually listens to the Lord. You actually hear from the Lord. You make good decisions for yourself. Before I even came in the picture. So it was like, it opened my mindset to be like, you're right. So that's what we're supposed to be doing during dating instead of kiki-kiing. And then you get in a, because when I'm before God and I'm saying, I'm going to submit to this man. Now, I understand y'all can probably speak to moments where it's like, I understand you hear from God. I trust you. But I'm still struggling with submitting in this moment. That but I happens. Feel like it's more helpful knowing his character. So where it's like, okay, Lord, because you holding me to that. I said I'll do it and I got to submit even if I don't understand. So doing the front work on that will make it a little easier than me trying to submit to somebody that I don't even know what he's doing with his life. We shouldn't be here Facts. To begin with.
Facts.
Right.
So. Yeah. I think that's why purpose is so key, because if you are not joined to someone that's moving in the same direction as you, it makes submission like exponentially harder. Mm-hmm. It's hard to begin with. I ain't gonna lie. But it makes it exponentially harder when it's like you're married to somebody that's going east and you know you called to go north. You know, it's like, wait now, well, how does work? You know, so yeah, integrity, personal relationship with God is foundation. But then I also would say purpose is key too, because you want to make sure you're moving, you're called to move in the same direction, and you don't feel like you have to make concessions with your purpose and your life that, you know, in order to meet another person's needs. So yeah,
for me, the first time I heard the word submission was definitely when I was younger and in church. I did not really see it being lived out mm-hmm. in my household, so I think I didn't really understand it until I got older. And then thinking back to images that I remember, like coming to America, and then there's a part where, you know, he's like, she'll bark like a dog, and yep. like she's doing all the things mm-hmm. that he's telling her to mm-hmm. do, and like blindly just like hop on one leg. I don't remember exactly, yeah. but that's the image that comes to mind, mm-hmm. Where she was just like completely whatever, yeah. yes, king, yep. and
whatever you like,
whatever you like. yeah. So I think there's probably a lot of people that may think submission is very similar to that.
Oh, absolutely.
That's a very good point.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I thought of control, somebody like basically controlling you, somebody running things. Yeah, it wasn't super pretty or cute, you know, when I heard the word, and I was kind of like, oh, okay. Like, you know, strong, independent woman. How's that going to work? So I do believe submission gets a bad rap. I am learning, I should say, that to your point, the beauty of submission, because really submission is not only about like alignment, but it's also about like covering and protection. Because when you choose submission, when you embrace submission, it adds this additional layer, if you will, of protection and covering over your life. Because in that moment, you're the person that you're submitting to is basically taking responsibility and accountability for whatever steps or decisions are being made in that moment. And so it also, to me, kind of has an element of relief, because it's like, all right, I've said what I need to say, and now I am trusting in the person that I am submitted to, because they're the ones ultimately that bear the brunt. So honestly, the other side of submission is you feel the weight, or you understand the weight, if you will, of the person that you're choosing to submit to. Does that make sense?
It definitely does. Yeah.
So, sure. But yeah, it's definitely a two-sided coin. And we'll get into the intricacies of it, because like you said, you know, when you are navigating difficult things or challenging times, it can look different. It can be more challenging. It'd be harder. And there's conflict at times. So it's not always this, oh, it's easy to do. Oh, it's you know, beautiful. It's wonderful. I mean, you may see that on the back end, but in the moment, there are some challenges that you're really having to work through. So, yeah.
Yeah. And I will say that I think it's only beautiful when you're submitted to someone who is submitted to God.
Mm-hmm.
Because when they're not submitted, then submission in that context breeds chaos. So that's the caveat that I would add. It only mm-hmm. works when everyone in the scenario
yeah.
is submitted to God.
Yeah. And quite honestly, to one another. Like, I think we negate that whole scripture that comes right before wives submit to your husbands. Like, there should be a mutual respect where it's not just like blind loyalty, like, oh, I'll do whatever you say. It's like, no, there's communication, there's collaboration, you know, there's partnership, so that when it's time for, okay, the husband to take the lead. It's like you understand the ins and outs of that. And you're like, all right, I'm able to follow suit. So let's talk about the controversy of submission. And really, honestly, I'm thinking of the controversy of submission in the church, like not necessarily, you know, in the culture. Yeah, that I don't even know if they like submission, what submission, who. But I feel like there's an element of controversy when it comes to how submission is defined in the church, in the body of Christ, among women of faith. Do either of you want to speak to that or why you think that is?
Well, I can say what comes to mind.
Y'all like,
when I think about women and in the church, there's a majority of women that mm-hmm. are consistently going to church. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I feel like the men, I don't know where the men are. Mm-hmm. And with so many women in the church, and maybe I don't know where the men are, but I think when we see the women leading maybe in ministries and different things, mm-hmm. I think we have to, there's an element of, because I'm thinking of my mom and how she was strong and independent, mm-hmm. evangelist and doing all these things, but I know she struggled with submission. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if it's because she was kind of like the leader mm-hmm. of the faith in our mm-hmm. family. I'm not sure yeah. where it comes from, but I do know it's a lot in the yeah. church. And I don't know if it's because there's so many women in the church mm-hmm. as opposed yeah. to seeing men. I don't know.
Yeah, the thought that comes to mind for me is suppression.
Hmm.
I think those two words can feel synonymous for women. And I honestly, if you go back a few years ago and you look at a few of those Track Stars videos, you'll see my reluctancy to the word. So we thank God for growth.
But I
think that feeling suppressed, or as if you cannot, your voice will not be valued,
mm-hmm.
your perspective will not be respected, that your needs are not considered, all of those things can feed into a disdain for submission.
Mm-hmm.
And I think also, I don't know if there's enough precedence for men to know how to, maybe particularly within the Black community, mm-hmm. I'm not sure about other cultures, but enough precedence for men to know how to lead strong women
mm-hmm.
or to lead women that are
mm-hmm.
Highly intelligent mm-hmm. or have a lot of, you know, different opinions,
yeah,
whatever. And so I think in the past, you know, because women weren't able to get educated, women weren't able to have all of this agency, that the cultural norm was that, okay, women only have so much insight. Women only have so much input that they can bring to a situation. Mm-hmm. Whereas now, we are educated. And even pre-access to all of these things, there was still wisdom.
Oh, you absolutely. Know? Discernment. Like,
there was still, yeah. you know, we had contributions.
Oh, yeah.
But I think the lack of access could make one think that, oh, you're not informed enough to speak into the situation.
Mm-hmm.
Right. But we no longer have that excuse. So I just think the tradition of women being on the outskirts, not having education, and maybe not having fathers or men in their vicinity to teach them. How do you encourage, uplift, edify this woman and still be a good leader?
Yeah. I mean, there are a lot of different things at play, I feel like, with the scenario that you just talked about. It makes me think of, and I can't remember who was saying this, but I mean, first of all, the family has always been under attack. And so when you think about like single parent households, what ends up happening in single parent households, whether it is whether the child is a son or a daughter, you end up having women be raised to act like men, basically. And quite honestly, you end up having men being raised to act like women. And so it's like there's a lot of confusion and challenge that happens when the family, the home, the household doesn't look the way it was designed to look. So in your instance, you may have some men that don't know how to lead, quite honestly. Mm-hmm. We're not taught how to lead. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And then you may have women where that's all they know is how to lead. And so it really requires both parties to go back to the Lord and say, hey,
amen.
I don't know what I'm doing. I've not seen this before. And I need you to show me how it looks, how it should look on your terms. So it's, yeah, it's a lot of work there.
Ironically, I was going to say two things, and that was one of them. It can be so much confusion because of lack of humility. Mm-hmm. And that's on both sides, between men and mm-hmm. women. And then also because they don't understand what submission is.
Yep.
So how can you fully embrace or accept something that you don't fully know what it is?
Yeah.
So oftentimes we come into marriage, men and women, unprepared.
Mm-hmm.
Because submission, marriage shouldn't be your first rodeo at submission. Yep. And often, and this is fresh off the press. Like the Lord was.
I love it.
Fresh this is fresh, off. Fresh oil that the Lord helped me understand through turning me. But it just was like understanding that you're married to me first. That's shown in the book of Hosea. That's shown in Isaiah. Your maker is your husband.
Yeah.
We're in covenant with God first. So who do we learn, men and women alike? We are both to learn submission from the Lord.
Amen.
We are both in the seat of submission at some point.
Yeah.
So the best way for a man to learn how to lead is for him to be in that seat of submission with God, because
yeah.
God is going to show you mm-hmm. how to lead, because you're able yeah. to see how gentle he is with you. And then now you know how to lead your wife.
Yeah.
And then from women, us being with the Lord, I see how you lead me. So now I know what to look for.
Mm.
I need this. When they say, oh, you want a man to love you like Christ loved the church.
Yeah.
How you going to know how Christ loved the church if you're yeah. not in an intimate relationship with the Lord?
Yeah.
So the Lord starts showing me as I start submitting to him. And it just was like, oh, do it this way or buy this. And he would be so gentle. And I was like, oh, my God. My husband gonna be gentle like this. This is what leadership is. Like, I will gladly submit. What you want to yeah. eat? Like, you know,
amen.
Which is not literally limited as gender roles yeah. and stuff. Some men love to cook or whatever, but I love to cook.
Yeah.
So like, you treat me right and love me right. I always say, any man that struggles with submission, you're the issue.
And that's the truth, because the reality of it is, it's not just like, oh, I'm going to blindly follow you. The scripture clearly says, and we're going to break it down and read through that. The scripture clearly says, like, husbands submit to the Lord, wives submit to the husbands. Like, there's a lot, there's an order that's at play. And so everyone is submitted to someone. So it's not like, oh, I'm just going to follow you in the sand. Oh, no, we don't do that. But I'm going to follow you as you follow the Lord. So,
yeah. So let's go there.
Amen.
Faith and the biblical perspective of what the living word of God says about it. So I have Ephesians 5 and 22 up. It says, wives, this is the NIV version. Mm-hmm. Wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as you do to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body, of which he is the Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives submit to their husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word.
Amen.
Okay.
Amen.
So
break it down.
Let's break it down. So how do you personally interpret that, those scriptures in context of the modern relationships?
I love it. Y'all looking at me. I've been single all my life. I had to fight.
Thank you. All my life.
Well, I had two relationships, but they ain't know how to lead.
They
told me that. It ain't like I said it.
Well,
like, are you trying to ask for my hand in marriage?
Yeah.
Tell me I don't know how to lead. Okay, I guess.
Mm.
But
mean, I'll say what stood out to me is the servant part of being a leader, because we often think whoever leads is the one who has the control, is the one who has the authority. But really, whoever leads is the one who's laying down their life. That's the one who is like literally putting their life on the line and serving to no end, to the death, quite honestly. And so again, for me, it just reminds me that really what the Lord is asking me to do kind of pales in comparison to what the Lord is asking my husband to do, if I'm being honest. Like, yes, I have to crucify my flesh and at times like hold my tongue or bite my tongue. But really, when a man asks you to be his wife, he's basically saying, I'm willing to lay down my life for you on a day to day, moment to moment basis. But also like literally physically, like if I need to put my life on the line for you, I put my life on the line for you, because that's what Christ did. So it like you really start to see the weight of it. You really do. And it's like you're willing to jump out in front and all I have to do is stand behind you. But I want to jump out in front. And when I jump out in front, it predisposes me to stuff that I was never designed to carry.
Lord.
To stuff that I was never supposed to take the hit for, which is why you have this whole like overcompensating, if you will, done by women, where we're operating outside of a place that we were never called to. If that does that, I don't know if that makes sense, but
absolutely.
I'm just envisioning like you taking hits for stuff that you were never supposed to take a hit for. You're supposed to be under an umbrella and you want to be the umbrella. Like, but you made you wet. But that, you made you wet.
You wasn't made for.
But sometimes sometimes folks jump up front because old boy's umbrella is busted.
And it might be that might not be the umbrella you're supposed to be under. You get what I'm saying? But I think the reality of it is, you know, until or unless you are married, you're still supposed to be under an umbrella. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so I think even us practicing getting under the Lord's umbrella prepares us to be under man of God's umbrella.
Yeah.
Emphasis on man of God. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
But it's still like, even like I could say the same thing to a single person where it's like, you are constantly trying to operate out of a place that you were not designed to operate in. You're trying to make stuff happen. Mm-hmm. You're trying to, you know, make moves, politic, manipulate, move, and do whatever you feel like you need to do, control. Mm-hmm. And God is like, I need you to come over here because you're exhausting yourself.
And it's not going to last. All of that, all of those things, you're going to build and put yourself into a position that you got to maintain. You can get tired and it's not going to last.
Yeah.
But you brought up an interesting point.
Talk about the raggedy umbrella.
For the raggedy umbrella. Now, when it comes to umbrellas, they're not always in peak shape. It gets weathered. So I also had to submit my idea of what submission looks like, or what even my husband may look like, because that's going to look different in different seasons.
Absolutely.
So if there is a moment where he is busted, well, I'm a helper.
Yeah.
And my job is to help get you back up to good quality. Mm-hmm. So you ain't busted no more.
Absolutely.
Or whatever. But I do think it's interesting, especially being in singledom, for a good minute, it was hard for me to like find some or be interested in someone, because I was always looking for that tip top quality. But one thing I realized, the men that had that, that was because marriage grinded that out of them. Mm-hmm. That crucible, it produces like literally this oil or this put togetherness. You can tell when a man has a good wife.
Yeah.
Or whatever. And I'm like, and I started looking for that through like my brothers, because all my brothers were married, were brothers in Christ. And then it was like, but these single men, they don't have that oil.
Yeah.
Because they're not married. They're not in that crucible with the Lord or whatever marriage produces. So long story short.
You like, what?
Our single men may be a bit busted.
Well, all of them.
But we gotta, we still gotta help. We can't busted. Look for the, we sometimes we can't, we gotta adjust our expectations of this Neiman Marcus Tom Ford umbrella.
You go for the Target umbrellas, the Walmart, or the Dollar Tree umbrellas.
And then, you can, and then through you guys working, being led by the spirit. But I'm saying, but you guys working together, y'all can become a thing instead of expecting him to be at this level that a lot of single men are just not there.
I get it. I get it. Okay.
Help us out. Come on, help us.
Please. Let's talk about the busted umbrellas for a reason. Okay, let's talk about it. So I think busted umbrellas, you could call them that or could fall in that category for a myriad of reasons. We're not saying get you a Dollar Tree umbrella, okay? Because you do need to weather the storms. You get what I'm saying? But I don't think like the shiny, glossy umbrellas are the answer either. You know, it might be a thrift store umbrella, if I'm honest. Or it might be a umbrella that you find at like a Burlington that's, you know, really is marked down to this price, but it's worth that much. Like, and I say
hidden,
all that
hidden gem.
That's what I mean by busted, not literally like.
See, no. I mean busted. I mean you're not covering nothing.
Okay.
Oh no, I don't
mean
it.
All the fabric is gone.
And that's that's not the move.
And we left with the white.
Right.
That's the move.
Clarity. That's not the move. This is the move.
But what I want to say is like, I think, and y'all tell me if this is the case or not. But I think because literally of how a lot of us are raised and how a lot of women are taught in particular, I'm going to use myself as an example, because you're taught like, oh, be strong, be independent. Mm-hmm. You're automatically drawn towards the alpha male because you think that's the only type of person that can like
lead you.
Yeah. And so I won't say control you. Yeah. Lead you. And so for me, it took the Lord having to redefine what biblical manhood was. And so my question becomes, are we mistaking busted umbrellas because for something else, because we're expecting it to look a certain way or be packaged a certain way? Like we want it to be shiny and squeaky and new when really it's like, yeah, I'm weathered, but I know how to work. I know how to like there's nothing getting through me. There's nothing getting past me. But it's not, like you said, it might be a diamond in the rough where you kind of have to thrift and search and antique or whatever to find it. I don't know. I'm just asking, like, what are y'all's thoughts on that?
No, I agree with you completely. I agree with that completely. Because that was the reframe that the Lord had to give me with that perception shift. Not necessarily looking for, you know, what they say, the 666, six mm-hmm. foot, six figure. I wasn't mm-hmm. necessarily looking at that. But I was looking.
That don't even sound.
I know it sounds like the devil.
It's a setup.
That's a set. What in the world?
Oh, 6 foot, six figure, six pack.
But it's still 666.
It's going. Right. So we need to take the hit, y'all.
That's what I'm saying.
It might be a setup.
Are there really sound like women of God that are looking for a 666 man? Because that's not the move.
Well, that's I think the ongoing joke with like the high value man situation thing.
Yes. My Lord.
Amen.
Carry Let's on. Get that carry comment. On. No, in the same space. I'm just saying, like, do we, are we overlooking? Like, that's pretty obvious.
I definitely think we are, because you can get a man that doesn't have six figures yet, but you can support his dream and help him get there.
Absolutely.
You can have a man that doesn't have a six pack yet, but you can make him healthy meals and y'all can work out together.
Yeah.
What was the other?
6 foot.
Oh yeah.
Hey,
oh,
well, nobody.
It is what it is.
I mean, he can put little lifts in his Nike. You know,
you can wear flat.
You just need to accept the situation. There's gonna be no intervention on the height, y'all.
Oh,
amen. Like, I agree with you. Like, we look past a lot of good men because they don't look like what the world keeps showing us that we need to be looking for, or what we deserve because we are entitled to, because we're living for God. So this is the type of man, this is what I want him to look like, and this and that. So you're skipping over the good man that will love you well, bring his whole check home, and then work with you. And then y'all become that power couple instead of you trying to meet somebody already there. If you meet someone there, you need to be there. Or they may not value you because they didn't need you to get there.
Facts.
People don't realize that.
That's a whole nother piece where it's like, I put you in this house, I put you in this nice home, now sit down, stay at home, and shut up. That's a whole nother piece. It really is. It really is. You dealing with both ends of the spectrum. So, yeah. But I just am asking because I know that can be hard. I know that can be hard to put aside the world standards or what you deem yourself to deserve and honestly feel like you're selling yourself short. So do you feel like you're selling yourself short when you are trying to find or date according to God's standards instead of the world's standards?
I got different, go ahead. Different thoughts. Lord,
go
help.
Ahead. You good. We're here.
I think everybody's capacity for what they can handle is different.
Yeah.
I think that's important to remember, because you have to know for yourself, what can you handle and what can you not handle? Because I think within the church, there can be this narrative, especially I think as women, that we need to always be agreeable and willing to compromise. I think that's even probably outside of the church. It's just a cultural thing that women are taught to be agreeable and to, to do just that. And so I do think we have to know what we need. And like I mentioned in, you know, the previous episode, one of my non-negotiables is someone who's done therapy. Well, here in America, therapy is expensive. So if a man of God has spent his time and his coins, you know what I mean? Then not to say that he can't have a hard financial trial, but I'm just very much aware of what it takes for that to be a value and to be something that you maintain. Right. And so with that, it's like, okay, like for me, that could very well mean finances are going to have to look a certain way if that's something that's prioritized. So I think that's my caveat. And I do think that, like, I've talked about this on the show, which I kind of got grilled on it, but it is what it is. That if for your calling, there may be a certain type of person that is required to help you navigate a particular kind of space. And for me, I feel like there's going to have to be a particular kind of man.
What does that mean?
Educated.
Okay.
Wise.
Okay.
And he might be entrepreneurial.
Okay.
He might have just dealt with certain calibers or certain types of people. And so that's like specific to me. So I guess that's something that someone else might say, oh, you're being nitpicky. Right. But I just, in the sense of having a covering, I'm like, no, please give me wisdom on this topic.
Yeah.
You know, please be able to speak to the situation that I'm dealing with. And so
I get it.
Yeah.
I feel like a couple of things. Number one, for the most part, what you said is not to me like external. It's more internal. I feel like God can give you all of that and more. And my desire is that he would, quite honestly. My thing is, I don't want you to get caught up in it looking or being presented a certain way. A man could be educated, but not have a bunch of degrees.
Yeah.
Like, seriously.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
A man could know how to talk and engage with the man on the corner and the man in the C-suite and, you know, be absolutely articulate, but have, you know, grown up in foster homes or, you know, come from a single parent household. Like, there are so many different ways that God shapes people and wires people unconventionally. And so I don't want you to feel like, okay, because my husband is educated or going to be educated, he's going to look this way, or he's going to have this on his resume. Do you get what I mean? Or even the whole financial piece, you having the flexibility to work a limited number of hours, you know, during the, a week. I think that's great. I think that's beautiful. It may require a certain level of contentment as it relates to your lifestyle, or it will definitely require you to steward whatever the income is that's coming in the house.
Right.
So
right.
All of those are things that, I mean, I've seen, you know, I was just talking with my sister-in-law the other day, like, you know, there's a couple that she knows of where literally the wife stays home with their children and the husband is a teacher.
Oh, wow.
He's a teacher. Wow. So you stewarding.
You're stewarding.
Like for real. And I mean, God requires that whether you're making six figures or whatever. But at the same time, like it could just, all I'm saying is it could look differently, but still give you what you're wanting, what you're asking for. That's all I'm saying.
I hear you.
Does that make
see why she got grilled?
I hear you.
She is.
I'm holding on to these things because it took a long time for me to find my voice. It took a long time for me to recognize my needs, and I think it's, and not to say that you're coming by any means, but that is why I'm like, I think it's okay to stand on business for certain things and to trust that God can do a thing. Because I have had in the past a history of compromise. I've had a history of entertaining people who had no business being anywhere near
me.
You know, and they were men of God. Mm. But it's like, baby girl, you're not looking at clear signs, you know? And so that's where it's just like, I don't think it's wrong to say, this is what I like. This is what I'm drawn to. This is what I think I need. It may not come exactly as I think, but I do think it's okay to have stipulations on certain things and to recognize that like there's a tendency for those things to be found in certain places.
Can I ask real quick? And I know, Shania, I know you're about to say something. Can I ask real quick from the previous relationships that you were talking about with men of God, did they have these same standards, or were you drawn to them because of these standards, or was this pre the standards that you have now?
It was a mixed bag. Mm-hmm. So some of them did, and it wasn't a lot of folks, but some of them had some of them, and some of them had none of them.
Okay.
So, yeah.
But the standards that you have now, do they exist because of these men, or?
No, these standards exist because now, like, I've done the work realize what I feel like I need to be stewarded well. Mm-hmm.
And this is after.
Yeah.
Got it. Okay. Yeah. All right. Go ahead, Shani. I'm sorry.
I think it's always good to know what we need. That way, when it's in front of you, you can recognize it. But also, to a point, to challenge you just a little bit. I remember, which we spoke about on the show, when I was looking for a church when I first moved here to Atlanta. I had all the things in my mind that I wanted in a church. God sent me to a completely different church. I was like, this is nothing on my list. Why am I here? Amen. I don't even fit here. I'm like a sore thumb. Like, why am I here? But that church was everything that I needed. And it was everything that I didn't know I needed, but that God knew. So the only thing I would say is in that point of trusting God, like she said, it may come different. It may look like, so you're still going to get what you want. Just be open to the way that it appears. Because the Lord knows not only our desires, he gave them to you. I think he's trustworthy. His hands is big enough and strong enough to hold that. But at the same time, just being open, because he's also going to bless you with things that you don't even know you want. So you could have a narrow understanding or a narrow door of, this, only this can come through this door. And it's like, baby, I have so much more than that. So you could be blocking what he like.
I'm trying to bless you.
Open that door, baby.
And I think what I've learned over the years in surrendering to God and like truly surrendering, taking the eye of what I want and what I think is best for me and truly just letting God be God and have his way in every aspect of my life, from career, finances, children, marriage, just completely surrendering to what God wants to do and who God wants to bring into my life. And I think for me, I had to get to that point to surrender and say, God, I want what you want for me, because these men that I'm picking or that I think are Christian men or husband material is not it.
Yeah.
And that's like he omniscient. I'm all knowing. I know the future. I know what's ahead of you.
Absolutely.
And so just getting to a point to completely surrender and letting God be God in your life, I think is really, really crucial, especially for big decisions like marriage.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And it's hard. Like, I'm not saying, I don't want you to feel like you're an anomaly, because quite honestly, I feel like you represent a lot of women that are out there, single or married. And then honestly, I feel like you represent too me at some point in my life. And so the vantage point that I have now, that was just my experience where God was like, yep, that's what you want. Here's what you need, sugar. And what I needed encompassed what I wanted. Like, it was more. It wasn't less. Mm-hmm. It just looked completely different. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I don't want you to feel like we're asking you to settle or like, because that's really not it at all. Right. Like, literally, it's being open to God blessing you beyond what you could imagine. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. Anything else on our lovely Ephesians 5:22 verses 25.
I mean, I think it's important for us to really talk about too what mutual submission looks like in a healthy Christian marriage or partnership.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's really important because I know for me, I feel like I'm constantly learning what that looks like on a daily basis.
Yeah.
And just again, like I'm saying, like really surrendering to God, serving one another.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'll say Ryan, I feel like he does a great job in trying to serve his family, serve his children, getting up early, making breakfast, taking them to school. And it's reciprocal. Like, we're trying to serve each other. Yeah. And I do understand there's different ebbs and flows of life when there might be a financial need and God may call me to be the person that has some financial means to help provide for the family. And I think God is more concerned about our development of our character in your union and your oneness.
Absolutely.
And so we've been learning how to submit to one another, if that makes sense.
No, that makes perfect sense. I mean, I feel like it's letting each other excel in whatever your strengths are. You know what I'm saying? Like, literally, you are supposed to complement your spouse, which means you're not the same. You're not gifted in the same areas. You don't have the same strengths. You don't have the same weaknesses. They're meant to complement each other. And so when you acknowledge, okay, you're strong in this area, you lead in that area, or you're strong in this area, you lead in that area, like, that's mutual submission. And even that, the beauty of it is, like you were saying, as relationships grow and change and evolve, as you personally grow and change and evolve, so does your union. So seasons look different. Like, there may be a season where it's like, okay, you're more at home, you know, he's more in the marketplace, or he's more at home, you're more in the marketplace, or, you know, like, you just never know. Or even the whole gender roles thing. I mean, okay, in somebody's house, the woman may cook more. In another's house, the man may cook more. My husband does our laundry. He does it well. Matter of fact, last time I touched the washing machine, I got chastised. I was like, oh, okay. My bad. He was like, what are you doing?
Well, you're not doing it right.
You done messed it up. Okay, let me have to go in and fix it. I'm like, oh, okay. By all means, here's my laundry. Like, those are things that are different in every household. So you can't get caught up in, number one, how you were raised, or what your expectations are, or what your cultural stereotypes are that you know. Like, because God, your union is your union. And so you want it to look the way God ordained it to look, because that's how it's going to excel. That's how it's going to be optimal.
So good.
I think we need to move to hot topics.
Hey, let's go. Let's go.
Of the season. Maya, you want to kick this one off?
Yes, I will. I'm trying to see. There are so many things that we talked about here. We talked about femininity. I don't know if we want to address that anymore. Is there anything that y'all want to share on femininity, biblical femininity versus cultural femininity? Do y'all? I feel like y'all look like yes.
Yeah.
Y'all look like yes. Okay, let's do it.
I mean, I more so just wanted to hear you all's perspective.
Okay. Okay. So there's a lot of discussion about femininity, even the whole I'm in my soft girl era. Like, okay, so what does femininity look like culturally versus biblically? So do y'all want to start or you want us to start?
I would like you ladies to
y'all
start.
Like, your turn. Your turn.
Please and thank you.
All right.
Well, Shania look like she ready. Go ahead.
I feel like I got a little download in
there.
Okay,
go ahead.
Go ahead. Download.
Okay. So let's see where, okay. So for starters, I feel like this present femininity is a farce.
Well.
And I'm definitely going to give you some reasons why. I think it teaches women to be head first instead of heart first. And the man is already the head. We don't need another one. But I think as well, it's like teaching us to always try to be equal to a man. We're equally important. Mm-hmm. But like you said, it's complementary. Mm-hmm. He's going to be strong in certain areas. Yeah. He doesn't need you to compete with him.
Yeah.
And this is, like I said, stuff that the Lord has been teaching me. You need a helper.
Yeah.
And there's a beauty in being a helper. Mm-hmm. Oh, you want to make all the decisions? By all means. You just want a pep talk to me? Please. But like so many women are like fighting what men need instead of trying to reinvent the wheel and trying to tell him what he needs to expect. You don't realize you're expelling what you're trying to attract because they want someone soft. And even like in biblical femininity, like the woman, we're supposed to be so gentle, that calm, gentle spirit that the Holy Spirit wants to rest on us.
Amen.
So a man should want to experience peace with us.
Amen.
Safety with us. But if you always barking and trying to make more money to him or buck up to him and let him know you can lead better and this. Mm-hmm. And then I would say, too, I think a lot of the current femininity, at least that I see the toxicity through social media, it's like there's so many women that are super entitled just because you're a woman. Yeah. And it's like, and I hate to say this phrase as far as like, what are you bringing to the table? Because we know there's different things people bring and it's not limited to that notion. But it's like you're literally coming with nothing and demanding everything.
Well, they come in because they a baddie. That's what they say. They
right. I'm a baddie. I'm cute. Mm-hmm. But you don't know how to talk to that man and speak life into him. Mm-hmm. Like it's not limited to cooking, but you don't know how to do nothing. You don't want to do nothing. You don't even have a bank account of your own. Mm-hmm. But just because you cute, you think you can just walk up to a man that worked hard for his money and be mean to him? When it's in some areas, it's like 20, 30 women to one man.
Yeah.
And you expect him to just give you everything and you don't even know how to budget. So it's not even like you got to come to the table with degrees and money and this and this and that. But it's like you're losing what makes you special as a woman trying to chase masculinity and compete with men and be equal to men.
Yeah.
Rest in the way God made you. And like learn that, okay. So that
was good.
Yeah,
it's good. Oh, go ahead.
It's interesting because I have a very different take.
That's what we hear. Go for it.
So I would say that on the side of the internet that I have frequented,
in that neighborhood,
right? I have seen a lot of women who are emphasizing softness and who are emphasizing letting the man, you know, do his thing. I've seen a change in the current.
Oh yeah, the soft girl era.
Where exactly to what you're saying, I think a lot of women currently no longer want to be the lead. They want to be the passenger princess.
They're tired,
So I've actually wanted to study more and I haven't been able to as of yet, but to contrast it.
Yeah.
Because some of the things I'm seeing, there is an emphasis in softness and being, you know, more quiet spoken. And these aren't things that are necessarily being overtly said, but I have seen like different one dating coach in particular who really embodies it. Mm-hmm. However, I think that her angle is more from a place of sensuality.
Yep.
And so I don't know if that might be a distinguishing factor, is that like the femininity that is soft, but maybe not rooted in Christ, leans more to the side of sensuality.
Absolutely.
Perhaps.
And manipulation.
Yes.
That part. Jezebel.
I mean,
But I'll say that with a question mark or an asterisk.
Go ahead.
Because I've seen that in the Christian realm as well.
Absolutely. Yeah. It don't make it right there either.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's where it's just like I'm asking the Lord to give me wisdom on what does femininity look like in a biblical way.
Yeah.
Because, and that's why I wanted to hear y'all.
No, we got you.
Because I've heard a lot of talk about what does it mean to be a woman of God. Mm-hmm. So I've heard the verses and I've heard a lot of that.
Yeah.
But to me, there's a difference between what it is to be a biblical woman of God.
Absolutely.
And the language of femininity.
Yeah.
I think those are kind of different. They're adjacent, but they're slightly different. And so I've been curious about, okay, Lord, what parts of femininity are of you and what parts of femininity are perverted? Mm-hmm. That's where I'm like, I'm still trying to learn.
Yeah.
So that's where I'm at with it.
No, that makes sense. That makes sense. I mean, as you were talking about, just like, cause you're right. You know, there, and again, to me, I feel like cultural femininity, there are like two spectrums to it where you've got, you know, two ends of the spectrum where you've got the, you know, I'm a baddie, you know, I deserve everything in exchange for nothing, you know, just because of how I look, who I am, I'm on your arm, you lucky, I should be on your arm, that type of thing, to the whole, you know, soft girl piece where it's like, you know, I'm here to look beautiful for you and to take care of you and to, you know, and to make you feel good, to stroke your ego, I want to be taken care of, that whole kind of piece. And as long as neither one of them are grounded in Christ, they're both like, there's a slant to it. You know, it's like, you ain't all the way there. And so I think first and foremost, biblical femininity is founded in security, meaning you are secure in who you are as a woman of God, as a child of God. You are not striving to get attention. You are not striving to get acceptance. You are not striving to please or control or manipulate. You are firmly rooted in who you are and you have nothing to prove. That's the first thing. And then the second thing is you're a woman of character, a woman of integrity. You don't change when the situations change. You don't feel like you have to manipulate or politic or force a man or trap a man in order to get him to do what you want him to do or him to give you what he should give you. Like those are all basically like associated with witchcraft, quite honestly, because you're using your sensuality, your influence, which God has given us for ungodly things. And so I would say if your character is rooted in Christ, if your security is rooted in Christ, then you're able to walk in a way or carry yourself in a way where you don't have anything to prove and you're not trying to get attention. Matter of fact, that's what draws your husband to you because they see that.
But do you all think that there are particular, how many people on the socials say it? Is there a particular feminine energy that connotes that you are in line with the way that you were intended to operate?
A feminine energy. Anointing? Yeah. Can I say that? I feel like,
okay,
because I feel like when you are where God has you to be, his presence and his peace rest on you. And so literally, you know, as a wife, you set the atmosphere for your home. And so if your home is not a place of peace where the Lord's presence rests, then your husband ain't trying to be there. He trying to be out with his boys or, you know, talking to somebody else or doing this or doing that, because he knows when he comes home, he's going to get nagging. He's going to get strife. But like literally we have the ability to set the atmosphere, not only in our homes. Of course, that should be our primary place. But when we come into a room, and it doesn't have to be with our words, it doesn't have to be with what we're wearing, it doesn't have to be with, you know, how we look. It's really about the presence of God. So that's why I would say anointing.
I love that.
But it's a, yeah. I'm like, is yeah. that the answer you were looking for?
Not at all. But it was wonderful.
Oh, well, amen.
No, that's it.
Because the narratives I hear, it's all about the energy and what you bring and how you shift it for room, but it's not from God being yeah. the force and yeah. the like the reference point yeah. and the spirit being what informs yeah. that said energy.
Absolutely.
And so I do think that when you're saying that, my thought is like, okay, no wonder things are leaned over
distorted.
Ajar to the yeah. left. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because what other spirit is mm-hmm. is inspiring that energy?
Yeah.
And if it's mm-hmm. not the spirit of God,
yeah,
then it's gonna be manipulative.
Yeah.
Even
yeah.
if it seems so.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
So that's what I just yeah, that was it. I didn't expect when you said anointing, you know, I was like, I don't know what's about to happen. But once you continue, I'm like, oh no, that makes sense.
But he does, and you that have to so understand being tapping into your femininity is it's your superpower as a woman, because God really has shaped us a certain way. I mean, we carry influence and we have the ability to influence. Our words carry weight. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? That's why we have to be so mindful of how we use them.
That's so good.
You know what I mean? Especially when it comes to the men that are in our lives. Mm-hmm. We can break a man with our words. Mm-hmm. And that's not something, you know what I mean? Like, use your powers for good and not evil. Like, for real, for real. Because yeah. literally our words carry that much weight. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, ironically, we were just talking about that earlier today on Trackstars when we were in Genesis 3 with the fall.
Mm.
Like, Adam loved his wife so much that her word was literally weighed against the Lord's, and he yeah. chose hers
yeah.
over God's instruction. Mm-hmm. So I love that you said that,
because
yeah. that we always talking about the responsibility of men, but it's like also us as women understanding and taking accountability
mm-hmm.
for the weight of influence that we have in our
Absolutely.
Men to shepherd that well. I was like, ooh, the more I learn about this stuff, I'll be like, ooh, this is deep.
This is what we got to stay on our face, y'all.
It is.
Literally.
It is. And that's where that anointing comes from, because, you know, they always say, you know, it's nothing like a praying woman. Like, mm-hmm. I mean, literally, you know, after the fall, of course, you know, God said, I will put enmity between you and your seed, you know, talking to the serpent, like between the woman and her seed, like literally, we know how to war, you know what I'm saying? And we war in the spirit for a reason. And that is where that anointing comes from. That's why literally you can set the tone in your home. You can set the atmosphere. That is literally why when you walk into a room, people can know that you're there without you having said a word, because you're carrying the presence of God.
Spirit.
And you've gone before, you know what I mean? Like, you've literally gone before in prayer, or allowed the Lord to go before you, you know, as you spent time with him in prayer. So. Yeah,
so good.
Yeah, so you're looking at me. It's my turn.
Yes, your turn.
I will say, for me, I look at Proverbs 31,
mm-hmm.
and that's what also helped us formulate the vision for
yeah.
becoming Eva, the
yeah.
restored Eve, mm-hmm. or Eve 2.0.
Mm-hmm.
So, to me, it really talks about how we should be as wives or mm-hmm. as women.
Mm-hmm.
She is worth far more than rubies. Her husband has full confidence in her and lacks nothing of value. She brings him good, not harm, all the days of her life. Mm-hmm. She selects wool and flax and yeah. works with her eager hands. So I think she can be ambitious. She
Absolutely.
Can be a hard worker. Mm-hmm. She is like the merchant ships bringing her food from afar. She gets up while it is still night and provides food for her family and portions for her female servants. She considers a field and buys it out of her earnings. She plants a vineyard. So she's wise with mm-hmm. her money. I think she's smart. She's mm-hmm. intelligent. She can give wisdom on how to invest money and make money multiply. Mm-hmm. She sets about her work vigorously. Her arms are strong for her tasks. She sees that her trading is profitable and her lamp does not go out at night. In her hand, She holds a distaff and grasps a spindle with her fingers. She opens her arms to the poor and extends her hands to the needy. Amen. So I think you have to embrace all the aspects of her serving her family, serving her husband, but also she is smart. She's a hard worker. She's intelligent. She knows how to invest money. I mean, that's what I look at. And that's, I don't know, that's what I see.
I love it. Amen. When you read that, I was like, wow, amen. And then definitely verse, I think it's 18, really hit me when it says she sees that her trading is profitable and her lamp does not go out at night. So for one, like you said, she's good and able to shepherd over her household to make sure that the oil is still there. But at the same time, like what you guys said, being prayerful, it made me think of the 10 virgins that don't run, the smart ones that don't run out of oil. So that prayer keeps you oily so that you can do all of these things and make all of these righteous decisions. And amen.
And you got to get up sometimes.
Oh, yeah.
When you're tired. I know, you know, with four kids and husband, like, you're exhausted. But I rely on the strength of God to get up early, pray, devotion. Like, you got to be intentional with your prayer life and with your relationship with God and making sure you're listening to the voice of the Holy Spirit. So,
That's essential. It is. That's so good, Toya. It is. I mean, you have to. You have to pray. Like, I tell people, I'm like, I have to talk to the Lord before I talk to my husband. Otherwise, he ain't gonna like who we talking to. He'd be like, who this woman? How, what in the world?
And so, it's okay to be soft. You know, I think it's definitely okay to be soft and strong at the same time.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, I don't think soft means weak.
Yeah, that's true.
It's just controlled strength. You know what I mean? You know when to speak, you know when not to, you know when to press on something, you know when to let it ride. You know what I'm saying? Like,
it's wisdom.
Yeah, it really is. And so I think femininity, true biblical femininity, gets a bad rap as far as being weakness. And it's really not. It's just controlled strength because you have wisdom, like you said, to know how to leverage all that God has given you and when to when to do what He has asked you to do. And the way to do it, quite honestly, tone. Oh my God, tone is so key. When you talking, when you talking to men, tone is, you could say the same thing multiple ways. It's all about how you say it. It just really is. So,
and the other part it talks about is how she speaks with wisdom and is faithful. Instruction is on her tongue and she watches over the affairs of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness.
Yes.
So I'm sorry, all those little baddies that think that could just be cute
somewhere.
You're like, no.
And the soft light ones that just want to be taken care of.
Yes.
I want you to take care of me as I take care of you and us.
No.
Exactly.
Whatever that looks like.
It's reciprocal. Good stuff. Anything else on femininity? It's a lot. It's a lot to unpack. It is, especially in this day and age.
It's a lot. I think initially when I read this question, my mind also jumped to feminism. And that's another one. That's, I think that's why I said farce.
Feminism, I feel like, is really another. I mean, there are a lot of isms, quite honestly, that I feel like all were designed to sow division in the family.
Yes.
I think we discount how important the family is. It literally is the building block to society. And if you look at everything that we're dealing, every ism we're dealing with, quite honestly, has been sent to dismantle the family, quite honestly. And so feminism is one of those things. Go ahead. I feel you taking that deep breath.
I'm going to let you finish.
Feminism, I feel like, is one of those things that I think, you know, the enemy has used to kind of distort how women should show up in the family, if that makes sense. But yeah, we could talk about it. I mean, Let's talk about it.
Yes, I'm going to read the definition of feminism.
Go for it.
So it says, the advocacy of women's rights on the basis of the equality of the sexes. So I've heard someone else kind of make a clear distinction that the meaning of feminism is different than the negativity that has infiltrated the space and how it has been negatively used. So I think that there are positives to speaking to the importance and the value of women, because for so long there was a harm in how women were seen and how they were treated. And so I think there are some positives that came out of, like, you know what I mean, the feminist movement. But there are also some horrible things as well.
Yeah. Wow.
So
I feel like it's almost like a gateway drug, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Like, I just feel like it has kind of opened the door to not equality. That may have been the start or the origination behind it or the original intent of it. There we go. Trying to get my words together, y'all. That might have been the original intent of it. But I think it went from equality between men and women to, you know, women being better than men, more important than men, to men not even being necessary.
Right? Absolutely. I completely agree. Right. I just think that sometimes in an effort to correct the negatives, the positives are thrown out as well. So that's where I'm just like, I don't know that we need to go that far, because I think when you don't have the Lord and you're trying to correct sinful behavior, you, as you said a few weeks ago, there's an overcorrection that happens. But it doesn't mean that there isn't any positive elements that work.
But that's literally that's the overcorrection you're talking about, because feminism was a social movement and to influence policy, but it was not addressed by the church, which is the only organization that's really authorized to effectively address it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And I think we don't have enough topics on that. And I think when, like, for me being one who has gone to the church, when there have been more of the topics have been about women needing to submit than how do we value women? How do we respect women when it's constantly sit down, be in your place, don't speak in the church, and there's no balance. I think to the previous, you know, topic that we talked about or the question we talked about earlier, that's, I think, where some of that retaliation comes in. Because it's not, let me honor what you bring and speak on it and act as if I actually honor, not just use lip service, right? And show the beauty of both in harmony together without having to invalidate one. I don't think there's been enough of that.
I agree. I think that feminism is a whitewash tomb, and everything that you said makes perfect sense. And that's perfect order. And that's the white on the dirty tomb. And the reason why I say that is because, like, at the root of feminism, I think it was actually started by, like, the Carnegies or something like that. And they did that, like you said, for policy. They want to figure out how they can tax the family. So literally trick and feed the women into their rights so that they can get these jobs so I can tax the family twice. Like, it's literally a whole scam scenario that we have bought into and has matriculated into this literally vessel of division. And even in that, I saw a post maybe like last week or 2 weeks ago, and it was like, the way women are made, we're not even made for this work system, this 9 to 5. Our bodies are not even built for that. So it's like, you made us fight.
She's like, I'll take that one.
Literally, you made me fight for a role for this job, because I'm a strong Black woman, and I used to want to die on that hill. But it's just like me struggling to be and trying to force myself to be forget what I would be telling myself, a good adult, like a functional adult, or whatever. And I have to submit to this work system that's made and built on male hormonal energy cycles.
Yes, all day.
So it's like, I fought, you convinced me to fight for this space, and I'm in here drowning and suffering.
But I think it's similar to, you know, with the civil rights movement, right? Like, there was a fight for rights there as well. And now we're still dealing with these tensions because the institution or the different systems were not restructured to consider us. So I don't think that it's wrong. I mean, clearly Proverbs 31 talks about a woman, you know, being enterprising. But I think what we're up against now is that the spaces and the systems and the structures haven't changed to accommodate us.
Right.
So we've had to change and accommodate ourselves, which has caused us to feel exhausted. So I completely agree.
Exhausted. I just feel in my pursuit, me being fed the strong Black woman thing, that was the feminism that I experienced. Because, like, I agree with what you're saying. That's why I said that's the white on the tomb that makes it look good. Yeah. That's the face. That's the makeup on it to make it look better. But it's like me being constantly pinching to Miss Independent, strong Black woman, brinking on the line of I don't need a man because I make this money. I do this, and that. And it's just like, but that's, it puts me in a position, in a place, in a mental understanding of the opposite of what biblical femininity is.
Yeah.
And it literally makes me fight against that.
Yeah.
Which I can be a strong Black woman with a six-figure job and all the rest of that. But men have even said, a lot of women that have these degrees and have this stuff, the mentality that comes with it repels them.
I hear that. I hear the mentality, like, that the mentality can be a deterrent. But I don't think there's anything
with
a woman being able to take care of herself.
Oh, not at all.
I think so either.
No.
And I think there's been a lot of, for the Black community, I think we just have to remember the context of why the strong Black woman is even a reality in the first place. Mm-hmm. Because there has been, you know, so much opposition where we didn't have that support. And so I just think it's important to remember that, because I have an aversion to the strong Black woman archetype. Like, I straight up do. And it frustrates me. But I think that it's important to remember for myself and for others, like, being gracious, because not all of us have had the privilege of having men to take the weight. You know what I mean? And so it's like, there's that part of it. And then there's also, what if you're single? Like, we say that occasionally in church, like, what if the Lord hasn't called for you to be married? Well, if that's the case, then what are the women's doing? You know what I mean? They got to have some strength.
The Lord comes.
But they got to have some strength.
That's physical or spiritual.
But I mean, it goes back to what you were saying earlier about the Lord your maker being your husband, because the reality of it is, and this is the truth, whether you're single or married, the Lord is your provider. I don't care how many figures you got. I really don't. I don't care how many jobs you work. I don't care if you don't work at all. The Lord is your provider. Like, everything that you have comes from him, and he can use whatever, whoever, however he wants to. So I don't want us to fall into the trap of thinking, well, I have to be this way because I'm single still, and I'm not married. I'm not, you know, like, who's going to take care of me? The Lord takes care of you when you're single, and the Lord takes care of you when you're married. It's our job to be good stewards over whatever it is that he blesses us with, and to trust him as that provider. You know what I mean? And I get that's better. That's easier said than done.
It is, because practically, if you're in an industry, I think in your spirit, you can submit to that truth.
Mm-hmm.
But I do think practical application, like, if you are in a male dominated, dominated environment, and you're having to function in that place, and that is your day in and day out, like, that can very well impact the way you show up. And
And that's why I don't agree with current femininity, because it lures you into thinking, I need to be like them.
And you
don't. I need to be like me, because there's a superpower to femininity when it's done biblically and correctly. I don't have to, like with track stars, I don't have to fight for the mic like men. And it was literally like the Lord was like, maybe you need to chill, because, like, they're wonderful men of God.
Oh, yeah, but they're men.
Exactly. They used to buck it up. And I'm like, excuse me. It was such a transition when I first got there. Yeah. So I just was like, oh my God. But then it just was like, I said, you know what, Lord, if you have something for me to say, you're going to create that space.
Exactly.
I don't have to pry my way. And after I chilled and surrendered that to the Lord,
Jeremiah
was Shania, hold on. She hasn't spoken yet. What do you have to say on this?
Yeah.
And it's like, exactly, allowing the Lord to create those spaces and allowing you to show up in that way. You don't have to be masculine like them. No, baby.
And it is. It is a trust factor. Because to your point, I've been in those environments where it's all men in a Christian and in a secular environment. And it's like, okay, you know, my initial, I'm inclined to prove, to show and prove I deserve to be here. I'm more qualified than most of y'all, quite honestly. But in reality, that's a faith walk too, where you have to trust that, okay, the Lord put me here for a reason. And yes, my gifts are going to make room for me. So it's, I get it though. It's hard. It's hard. Do I get it right all the time? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. I buck up many times and I should not be bucking up. Like, for real, I should not. The Lord, by the time I'm done, the Lord is like, you finished? You good? All right. Gone and repent. Let's get it right. So I get it. But at the end of the day, even in those moments, we have to trust God to open up the door and make the way for us. If he's the one that put us there. Now, if we're trying to put ourselves there, that's a whole different story.
I work in insurance.
I see the wheels turning. You're like, I'm going to come back.
This is going to keep on going. So I'm just going.
No. But it's, I work in insurance. That's literally a job where I get paid more the more, seemingly, the more aggressive you are at getting sales. But I don't make that frustrate me into the Lord. Yeah. And I tell you, me and my sweetness trusting in the Lord, I done had people buy everything that I have to sell without manipulating them, without pressuring them. They like, you know what? For some reason, I trust you. Mm-hmm. Whatever you recommend. Mm-hmm. I have 4 different types of things I can sell. That man said, give me one of each.
Well, amen.
Trusting in the Lord and that the Lord will help me maintain. So I get it.
Yeah, I hear y'all.
Miracle.
You're a great man.
Male not convinced.
Male dominated industry.
But yeah, we're not trying to convince or anything. We're just, trying to hear your perspective. But at the same time, you know, if we can identify with it and share how God may have shown up or like transformed our thinking in that area. But yeah,
that's fair.
You're like, I'm done. She's, I don't so have funny. Anything else to say.
This has been a great conversation, and I don't think we're finished with it. But we do want to talk about the holidays that we have coming up and how to survive the holiday season. That's stress. Good.
Yeah.
So how do you plan to celebrate? How do you plan to manage the stress of the holidays?
I literally was just telling my husband, I think it was last week, I'm going out of town next weekend. The past 3 months, and y'all know this whole season really has been cray cray. And what God has been teaching me is to lean into him in the midst of the chaos, to not, you know, try to rush through it or try to work myself out of it, or you know, try to just wait and hope for things to get better. But like, in the midst of things being undone, in the midst of things being chaotic, in the midst of things being overwhelming, to lean into him and then to take time when I need to take time, even if I feel like I haven't earned it, quote unquote, because I like to earn my rest, if you will, or my breaks, or, you know, feel like, well, I successfully completed this. That ain't the case this season. It's a lot of things where I'm like, I don't see the light at the end of the tunnel, but I'm going to take a break. I'm going to take a break because I'm tired and because, you know, this is out of my control. And so, but all that to say, I was literally just telling him, when I get back out of town or get back in town next week, I'm really going to start sliding into the holiday season. Does that mean things are going to slow down? I hope so, but I have no idea. I don't see the light at the end of the tunnel. But for me personally, what it looks like is I'm not taking on any new commitments this year. I'm not taking on any new clients. I mean, I can't necessarily control what happens with my 9-to-5. I can definitely state when I'm at capacity, which I have been doing. But at the same time, I'm not taking on any new commitments. I'm not going to say, oh, hey, I'm not volunteering for anything else. I'm not, like, literally, I am going to try to slow down as much as I possibly can within my own control. And honestly, too, what has been my sustaining grace during this time has been really me leaning into relationships, mm-hmm. like me taking the time, like, you know, if there's a girls trip plan, I'm going on the girls trip. You know, if somebody's celebrating their birthday, we're celebrating the birthday. I don't care whatever else is going on around me. Relationships are important. And so me being intentional about that has reminded me, number one, of what takes precedent, but it's also been a great stress reliever because it kind of helps me release and let go of everything that's going on. So I'm also going to be leaning into relationships this holiday season. There are people that I know I'm supposed to have coffee with, or people I know I'm supposed to have over for dinner, or, you know, people I'm supposed to spend time with. And I really want to make sure that takes precedent over and above whatever else may be going on. So yeah, that's me. What y'all got?
I love that. I'm going to just be chilling.
Amen.
That's it. That's all.
Good.
I agree with you. I'm definitely slowing down, recalibrating. I plan to really lock in with the Lord because I've been super busy. And it's like, I want to spend some more intentional time with them, especially in my prayer time. So our conversation was right on point as well.
Amen.
But as far as the holidays, I'm a holiday girly. Okay.
I was gonna say the way she lit up, you would have thought she was a little elf or something. She's like, but as far as the holidays,
tis the season.
Oh my gosh.
It's Christmas year round for me. Okay.
Oh my gosh.
But I'm super excited about different recipes that I wanna make. Right now I have my eyes. My cousin actually sent me this recipe for a sweet potato pound cake.
Okay.
With like a vanilla bean, buttercream icing with like a caramel bourbon drizzle. I was like, yes,
amazing.
Baby. I'm excited for the little recipes I've collected.
I love it.
Because I'm a cook. I love to cook and share food with people. Mm-hmm. Like I wanted to bring cupcakes today, but this day was like so long and crazy.
Yeah.
This week was a lot. But I'm excited to bake things and then just share with people I love.
I love that. What about you, Toya?
We're holiday people too in the Moore household. So we have so many family traditions that we try to make sure that we do every holiday time when it comes to like Thanksgiving and Christmas. So I'm looking forward to the quality time and the family traditions.
Amen. That's so good. I was going to say, are you doing another pageant this year? Christmas pageant, you know. Didn't you have something where you had them read their different parts around the Christmas time or something?
That is so
when
cute.
It's my turn to do the annual junk food party, all of Ryan's family will come to like my house, and then we'll do all like the little junk food. And one year I did kind of like a play with the children, and I made them come to rehearsal.
Yes.
And we were acting out, you know, Jesus's birth.
Yes.
And everyone had little parts.
Yes.
And had little costumes and things. Mason was a baby, I think, at the time. He was baby Jesus.
Oh.
So it was a little bit of, that was stressful for me. So I probably won't do that.
Well, amen. Amen to saying no to stress.
I will release that.
Amen.
Just eat some cookies, eat some junk food, watch some Christmas movies.
I'm proud
movies.
Of you. Amen. Okay. Those are traditions too. So yes. You are not selling yourself short. Amen.
Right.
So,
it was a lot.
Yes.
It is. Just read the line. Just read the line. Just read it. I think Riley was playing on the piano. Okay, play the song. Like,
I love it.
It's like, this is supposed to be a happy time, and I'm starting to yell at people, so let's not do this again.
Okay, real quick, y'all. Favorite traditions. What's your favorite holiday tradition? Do you have one? Ooh. And if so, what is it?
When we always get a real Christmas tree. Mm-hmm. We also have artificial ones, but when we like trim the tree and decorate the tree, we always watch a Christmas movie and I bake cookies. And that's, I don't know, it's kind of simple and fun, but the children love it.
I love it. Love it. Y'all have any favorites?
Yes. For me, it's not a holiday until the greatest hits of Whitney Houston is playing.
Okay.
So we are literally cooking and listening to Whitney Houston. Yes. I just love that. And also, we do a movie night. I think every Thanksgiving, we watch Temptation by Tyler Perry. Oh. I don't know why my mom and sister are obsessed.
Is that a Christmas movie?
It ain't, but they obsessed with it. So we oblige, and we just frolic and have a good time. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Frolic. I love that.
Frolic and play the Eskimo way.
There you go.
So my favorite thing every year is going to a Christmas like music celebration.
Oh, yeah.
So yeah, that's something that my mom and I do, which I love.
I love
that. So I'm looking forward to that.
Yay. I would say we're movie people, so every year between Thanksgiving and Christmas, we watch a Christmas movie every Saturday night. So like that's our like leading up to it. And it's funny because, you know, the whole like what constitutes as a Christmas movie, you know, not all of them are super traditional. I still believe Die Hard is a Christmas movie, I'm not gonna lie. So but all that to say, like, you know, it could be action, it just happens around the holidays or what have you, but literally we do a Christmas themed movie every Saturday leading up to. So that's a tradition for me. And then when we do a live tree as well, because I just love the smell, and that's how I grew
up. Smell.
Yeah. And so every year when we put up the tree, Chris is from New Jersey, DJ Jeremiah. And so something popular up there is something called like Italian cheeseburgers, but it's like literally like a Philly hoagie kind of thing. And so he'll usually make that, and it's like a good break. It's definitely junk food, if you will, or indulgent, but it's a good break coming out of like Thanksgiving food when you just want something different. And so he'll usually cook that, and we'll, you know, do that when we're doing a treat. So yeah, but I'm excited. It's for me, I really encourage people, but encourage myself as well to slow down during this time of year, because before you know it, it's the top of the year and you're going to be kicking yourself. You're going to be mad if you're still tired by the time it's time to go back to work, go back to school, get back into the routine of things. So give yourself grace and the liberty, quite honestly, to slow down, like whatever that looks like or whatever that means for you this time of year. Yeah. So.
All right, guys. Subscribe and get your merch at Becoming Eva today. Get your water bottles, mugs, totes, shirts, dresses, slides, all the things. We're trying to reach 500 YouTube subscribers before we get to season 12. We are almost there. So come on. Be sure to subscribe to the YouTube channel. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and X at Becoming Eva Today. And we will see you guys for season 12.
Bye.
Don't forget to like us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
Click subscribe on YouTube and subscribe to the podcast.
Check us out at becomingevatoday.com
or email us at evamail@becomingevatoday.com.
See you next time.